Good morning. You've tuned into North Idaho News of the Week here on 88.5 KRFY. This is Panhandle Community Radio. I'm Jack Peterson. Chris Bessler out again this week, but I'm here this morning with Sansare Mitchells, the senior writer for the Sandpoint Reader. Thanks for being here, Sansare.
Thanks for having me.
You were here last week as well, but had to have you back to cover the this big kind of front. It's never the front page of the Reader, but you know, page four, the first news page of the Reader,
mm-hmm.
that is concerned with covered with your byline. But let's start at the state level here. All eyes on the Joint Finance Appropriation Committee, of course. Back in, we've discussed already, but back in February 6th, I believe, they approved 14-6 across the board, 1-2% budget cuts. But they have been further discussing those potential budget cuts and the ramifications of them in the state legislature and in Boise, the governor's office weighing in, and I believe the governor's main financial advisor, Lori Wolf, spoke to JFAC just last Friday about reconsidering some of those cuts. Also in state news, a challenge to Idaho's abortion ban is underway, and Attorney General Raul Labrador attempted to dismiss that lawsuit, but the legal challenge will go to trial. A judge has denied the Attorney General's attempt to dismiss that lawsuit. So we will once again see the courts stepping in and weighing in on the Idaho abortion ban. In both local news and statewide news, Jim Woodward, our state senator here in Legislative District 1, has announced that he will seek re-election to the Idaho Senate. This move does not come as a great surprise, but it is now official that State Senator Jim Woodward will be seeking his fourth non-consecutive term should he win that election. He will be seeking his party's nomination in the May 19th primary, and then heads to the general election in November 2026. Should he win the primary, that primary is generally expected to be contested and probably the more competitive race than the general election. So election season heating up here in North Idaho. The Lakes Commission has released their economic impact study, and in it they argue for an earlier refill and a later drawdown of Lake Pend'Oreille's water level. And they cite a $40 million loss of revenue from the current schedule, and would like to see those summer pool levels extend further into the spring and fall. Here in the city of Sandpoint, the city council, which was considering putting a local option tax on the May ballot, has determined that will be delayed to November 2026. So the local option tax will not be on the May ballot here in Sandpoint, and we do still expect to see that in November. The 1% sales tax for a term of 25 years was the failed measure in 2024, and this will give them a little longer runway to prepare for that vote if they wait until November. The city hosted a public meeting on proposed downtown zoning changes yesterday. The Planning and Community Development Department hosted this meeting on Thursday, February 19th from 9:30 to 11 a.m. at the Marigold Bistro. I would say those zoning changes were generally well received by those in attendance. So this is about the new downtown outer core, splitting the downtown what is now one zone into two zoning districts, a downtown core and downtown outer core. Let's see. How about county news? The Bonner County the Board of County Commissioners of Bonner County is going to consider a permit for a cell tower in Elmira. You can correct me here, Sansere, if I get any of the details wrong, but this goes back to 2023 when the original application for the cell tower was submitted, but it was opposed by, I think, 20 nearby landowners filing for judicial review. So the court vacated the decision and remanded the matter back to the county, who will now be considering whether a cell tower will be going up in Elmira or not. Anything else to say about that?
Sure. Do we want to jump in? Are we done with headlines?
No. The last headline is the big one, and it's about education. Let's talk about the Lake Pendere School District and their decision to close Lake Pendere High School.
The facility.
The facility, right. The alternative school, Lake Pendere High School, which is currently housed in it's the old Lincoln School building, but it's kind of on Boyer and Larch area over near, you might know it by the school nearest to Sandpoint Super One.
Mm-hmm.
It is an alternative high school that is the historic building is going to close in 2027. This will be the last school year, or the last school year is coming up that there will be students in that building. And then what happens next? Well, let's talk about it, Sansere. This comes as, I guess, a bit of a shock. That high school has been there for years and has been kind of a big part of the overall education picture here in Sandpoint. First of all, who does the alternative high school serve? How about that? Is that a good place to start?
Absolutely, yes. Mm-hmm. So the alternative high school has been in that building for 2-3 decades.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been serving kids who are considered at risk. And that can mean a lot of things. There are a lot of reasons why kids go to the alternative high school. And it could be that they were failing classes or were missing a lot of classes at the regular high school. It could be that they had some kind of social, emotional, physical setback, some health issues, family issues that sort of took priority away from school. It used to be a lot more that kids got pregnant or they were, you know, young teenage parents and they needed a more flexible schedule with childcare at the facility. And they've moved away from that. And I believe they got rid of the playground for the children's children a few years ago. But it's mostly for students who have had something happen in their lives where they have a sort of a difficult home life. They need to be working. They need to be splitting their time. Education can't necessarily be their focus. And so they need differing hours. They need more hands-on learning, smaller class sizes to really help them thrive. And so it's always been a pretty small school, but it has been dwindling in recent years, the population there, which on some level is a good thing because that means that there are fewer students who are facing these really big setbacks. But on the other hand, that means that there is less funding and less resources going to the kids who still really need this school. Right now, there are about 75 students, and next year, 30 of those are going to be, or they won't be coming back next year. The 30 of them will be graduating. 30 of them are seniors this year. And so that really opens up this difficult discussion because, of course, schools in Idaho receive funding by units, and a unit is a certain number of students plus a teacher and part of an administrator. And so if you don't have that many students, you're not going to get as much funding from the state. That being said, you still need about as much funding as any other school, regardless of how many students you have, because you still need those administrators, those different teachers. You still need to pay for the building and the water and electricity and everything. So just because the student population goes down and the funding goes down, the expenses don't go down with them. And that's why we're seeing this this move that's shocking, it's upsetting, but also it's been a long time coming in many respects. It's something that the Lake Pend'Oreille School District every few years kind of considers, but this is the first year where they have said, you know, okay, we actually have to pull the trigger on this. So it didn't necessarily blindside the students or the teachers. They've been warned quite a few times that this might be happening later, but nobody is happy about it.
Here's a question for you. Those dwindling number, the shrinking enrollment numbers. Mm-hmm. I mean, it could just be a good thing that fewer children are at risk. But is there anything else that might affect that? Have the, you know, the standards changed at all for what, or, you know, how do we determine who is an at risk student? Why is that number shrinking so much? Is there any way of saying that?
Well, it could possibly be that there are a lot more options nowadays, online options especially. And of course, with the recent tax credits that came into effect from the legislature, so parents, students can apply for $5,000 per student to go to a private school or an online school. So there are definitely more options. I would say it speaks a lot to that things are getting better for students, hopefully, knock on wood. But yeah, there are other options. There's of course also that you know, we have a pretty aging population here in Sandpoint especially, and people aren't having as many kids. There's a lot of retirees in our community, so that could also be a part of it.
What will happen to those kids who aren't graduating? Those 30 kids, the 30 kids will graduate, and the remaining 40-ish would still be in high school. Where will they go?
So this was also another really, frankly, devastating part to these students. But the school district decided that in order to save money, they were going to need next year for the 2026-2027 school year to cut all of the electives from the LPOHS curriculum, which meant cutting those teachers who were really beloved by the kids. And of course, electives, I think I speak for most students when I say electives are the best part of school. Kids don't really go to school for the math unless they are math inclined. I am personally not. So next school year, they will be staying in their current building, but they won't have any electives there. So they can choose to be bused back and forth to Sandpoint High School to take electives there. They can also do independent study online. And already as a part of LPOHS's curriculum, they have different, you know, work studies and job shadows and things like that. So they can do that. There are multiple options, which is good, but it's not a fix-all as some Randy Wilhelm, who was a art teacher there for 27 years, pointed out to me when we were talking about this. He was saying, well, essentially, a lot of these kids have already come from Sandpoint High School. They've had maybe bad experiences there for one reason or another, whether it was just the culture, getting in with a bad crowd, or it was bullying. Mm-hmm. And so they don't want to go back.
Yeah.
So in his opinion, a lot of them will choose to drop out before they go and they take electives there.
Yeah. I mean, I understand that reasoning that Wilhelm is using there, I think. That makes sense. Mm-hmm. And so right away that those changes go into effect next year, that the electives will be gone. There'll still be a facility. Mm-hmm. They'll still be using the other facility for next year. And then after that, that building is scheduled to close.
Yes.
Altogether.
That's when it's the more drastic change. So the students are going to be, as of the plan right now, they're going to move to the portables, the tiny buildings behind the Sandpoint Middle School. And the reason that they're not moving next year is because the Sandpoint Middle School will be undergoing renovations. And so they're doing it in quarters of the building, and all of the students who are in the classrooms of the quarter that's being renovated at that time are going to be out in the portables.
Gotcha.
So those are going to be in use. But for the 27-28 school year, they're going to move LPOHS behind there. Superintendent Becky Meyer has said that they're going to set aside funds to sort of make that like a smaller campus that's their own. And whether that's landscaping outside, currently at their current facility, they have a really big, beautiful, they have a greenhouse and then a food garden in the back that the students take care of and also do wood shop and things out there. So if they want to make something like that, the school district is going to take opinions from those students that are still going to be there, that are not graduating, and also the teachers that will be moving over, the core curriculum teachers. But it's still, it's hard. And it goes back to what Randy Wilhelm was saying, is even though it's going to be a smaller, you know, separate campus, they're still going to be back essentially on the Sandpoint High School grounds.
Yeah.
They're all right in that little complex, and it'll be easier for them to walk over and take electives at the high school, to go and use the career technical education facility that will be opening up this fall. So on the one hand, there are a lot of increased opportunities, but on the other, if you really cannot go back to Sandpoint High School, you're kind of there.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter how separate you try and make it. You're right there.
Yeah. Statistically, I caught this one here. I mean, the students who end up going to Lake Pendere High School they're considered to be likely not to graduate when they go. And the graduation rate from LPO High School, according to Idaho Education News, the graduation rate is 63.2%, which is, I mean, not a great graduation rate, but compared to zero, you know, it's pretty impressive.
Absolutely, yeah. All of those kids, it was determined by the state, no, 100% they are not going to graduate. And the graduation rate there that you just cited, that's the most recent available through Idaho Ed News, which monitors all of the schools in the state, but that is from 2022. And according to Randy Wilhelm again, the number is probably now more about around 70%.
Mm-hmm.
And by comparison, in 2022, Sandpoint High School's graduation rate was 86%.
Yeah.
So it's not like the regular high school is getting 100% of students to graduate.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, it's ultimately, I mean, it's kind of a sad story because it that statistic kind of paints a picture of a successful endeavor to, yeah, to take kids who are on one path and give them hopefully a better future, certainly in education. It seems like Lake Pend'Oreille High School has been a success, and it's a shame to see it close.
It has been an incredible success, and really changed hundreds and hundreds of students' lives. And it's hard to quantify. I mean, you can talk to these students. A lot of them are still really amazing members of our community, going on to be nurses and builders and just people that you meet every day, and you wouldn't think, oh, they went to, quote unquote, the bad school, which is the sort of reputation that LPOHS has gotten. And that's not the case. It's simply an alternative high school. It's a high school where students are met, where they are. It seeks to meet needs that don't fit nicely into the pretty small box, frankly, of the regular educational system. And so it's an absolutely crucial part of our community, and alternative high schools are a crucial part of many communities throughout Idaho. So whatever the school district, whatever parents and students and teachers and anyone else can do to keep it open, I am in full support of. And I think everyone should be in full support of. If there's a way to save the building as well, that would be incredible. And I know people have floated out a couple ideas to get more students in there. They used to have a 7th and 8th grade program, and alternative schools are in Idaho. They can go down to 6th grade, and we have always an influx of younger and younger students. So if we could get more people in those classrooms, maybe that would bump up the funding a little bit. But I assume that the school district has considered that and run the numbers, and it's not enough.
I don't know. Are there any other options for that the school board is considering? I mean, how about this? Let me rephrase my question. Is this a done deal? Is this decision final? Is there an option for the school board to pursue some other course at all? Or is this, how final, I guess, is the decision? What options are there besides closing the school, if there are any?
So the plan for next year is pretty final. They have given notices to the teachers who teach electives there, so they know that their work there is ending, and that they are looking for alternative jobs. A lot of them with Sandpoint High School, to see if they can still follow the kids and keep teaching them. So that seems pretty set in stone by now. If by some miracle they were able to get a whole bunch of funding, maybe they would be able to hire all those teachers back, but that would be a one in a million chance. In terms of actually closing the building down, it seems very likely. There's always the possibility that things change. Of course, it's going to be, 2 years, really, and a lot can change in that. But the fact of the matter is that it's a 117-year-old building that needs to be updated. It's great. If anybody who gets a chance to walk through, it's a fantastic old building. But like all of the buildings in our school district, really, it's quite old, and it needs work on the roof. It needs work on what have you. And those things cost a lot of money. And because pretty much all of the buildings in the school district need that money, it's hard to say that they're going to dedicate it to a building that is that old.
Yeah.
So in all likelihood, it will close and then they will probably sell the building the way they did with the ninth grade center.
Mm-hmm. Which is now like the Sandpoint, is it called the Sandpoint Event Center? Sandpoint Business and Event Center? Something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But it's in private hands now.
Yes. Yeah. It will likely go into private hands. Mm-hmm. Years and years ago, they actually had this Lincoln Center or the Lincoln Building condemned.
Hmm.
And offices moved in shortly after, and then everybody, you know, made a fuss like, oh, it's condemned, but you can rent it out. And so the school went in there. But in all likelihood, it will sell to a private entity. That entity will have the money to gut it probably and refurbish it so that it doesn't look like classrooms anymore. It'll be private offices or something else.
Mm-hmm.
And that will give a good one-time chunk of change to the school district.
One time.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Right. And then they'll be short one building. Or,
mm-hmm.
Right.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. It will be a loss and a gain on the one hand. They also, it's not set in stone. The school district will have to, or the board will have to meet in an open meeting to discuss that, vote on it. And then in order to proceed, they will have to get the land and the building actually assessed to see how much they would even get. Because right now they don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a prime bit of real estate,
mm-hmm.
and obviously a gorgeous old building. So I can't imagine that it would sell for a small amount.
Yeah. Could be a fiscal boon, I guess, to get rid of it. And it would be that much less maintenance. But I mentioned that then they'd have one less school.
Mm-hmm.
That's good for now when, you know, numbers are where they are, but someday in the future, the population of Sandpoint seems to be growing, you know,
yes.
and that trend line continues to go up. I know we have an aging population, but it seems like the time may come one day when they'll regret not having an additional building to put a school in.
Mm-hmm.
Well, who knows? That's our time, Sansare. You want to say anything about the Elmira cell tower before we go?
Yes, this it speaks to a bigger picture thing. So they've already spent two meetings and 8 hours talking about this, and they haven't even gotten into deliberation by the board yet. And the reason they are really taking their time is because it speaks to a bigger thing about essentially the county fighting the feds and fighting Verizon Wireless to a certain extent, trying to gain more ground and get more control over where they can place cell towers. Because right now, according to the Communications Act of 1996, they can pretty much place a cell tower wherever, and that the approval by the commissioners is more of a formality unless they can prove that, like, this is a really bad thing. This is going to be incredibly detrimental. So they're already in a lawsuit over a different cell tower near Old Town. If they don't approve this one, I assume that will be another lawsuit. And if they do approve it, well, then it's probably going to be challenged once again by those 20 nearby homeowners who are worried about potential contamination on the wetlands on the property, who are worried about fire risks from the tower, who don't want to look at it every day out their kitchen windows, which understandable. So, yeah, if you want to go to that and you're interested, be prepared for another 4-hour meeting.
Yeah. Contentious, to be sure. There is more news, but not for today. We'll talk about that next time. Next week on News of the Week, I'm looking at some kind of a winter sports roundup, actually. I think it's, you know, it's Olympic time, and we haven't talked to Max Oswald from the Daily Bee, their sports editor, for a long time about what's going on over at Sandpoint High School and in the athletics realm. And we may even get basketball coach Will Love to come back and sit in with us for that one. So that'll be next week, perhaps, if all the ducks in a row can, you know, can get into that line. All right, Sansari Mitchell, thanks so much for coming in 2 weeks in a row and talking to us about this these important issues.
Happy to be here.
Okay, that's it for North Idaho News of the Week. Stay tuned for Otto's Eclectic Mix all day long here on 88.5 KRFY.